Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, a podcast that's trying to do this intro after having a respiratory infection. It's Ziff Bop. Oh, hey guys, it's the Ziff Bop Summer Vacation. If you hear a little rasp in the voice, yeah, just getting over a little bit of a respiratory infection, but I didn't want it to keep me from getting you the next episode in the Ziff Bop Summer Vacation series, where we highlight other podcasts that you might want to check out, listen to, guest spots that I've done on them. We're going with Also See this week. This is Robert Bouffard, who you know as one of the SiffPop.com managing editors, and doing a podcast with Foster, and they're both insightful, fun, funny, great hang. I really enjoyed talking about a movie. If you don't know the concept of this podcast, they basically take a movie that's coming out. In this case, it would have been back when the Alto Knights came out, and then they take one of the primary performers and bring to the surface a movie of theirs that maybe people don't talk about very much. In this case, it was De Niro in The Mission. And honestly, I didn't even know this movie existed. And I tend to know a lot of movies exist. And that is what's really fun about Also See. And I was very, very thankful, very glad to be able to watch this movie. It's a great suggestion. Really a lot of stuff for me to chew on, specifically why I enjoy watching movies and thinking about their themes and meanings and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, really, really good conversation here. Lots of fun. Highly recommend you sub to Also See in your podcast feed. It's a good one. So here, without any further choking and coughing from me, is the episode of Also See that I guested on. Check these guys out, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Hello and welcome. My name is Robert.
And I'm Foster.
And this is the Also See podcast, where we take an actor or director from an upcoming release and talk about one of their other movies that might not be as well known, because that's always nice to have a bit of extra context before going into a movie. This week, we are basing our topic on The Alto Knights, starring Robert De Niro. You've seen many, many Martin Scorsese movies, Heat, Jackie Brown, The Deer Hunter, Once Upon a Time in America, and many, many more. And I'm sure you've heard people talk about them in real life on a podcast like this one. But we are here today to talk about The Mission. When a Spanish Jesuit goes into the South American wilderness to build a mission in the hope of converting the Indians of the region, a slave hunter is converted and joins his mission. When Spain sells the colony to Portugal, they are forced to defend all they have built against the Portuguese aggressors. Now, before we jump into this movie, we have a guest here, and it's a very special guest. It is Aaron Dicer of Ziff Bop.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
I didn't see you guys there.
Hop into your recording by accident here?
Yeah, this is crazy. You want to do a podcast together? That would be amazing. What?
Thankfully, I just did an intro, so we're in good shape to do that if you're ready.
Wow, that's great. That's cool. I'm so glad to be here. No, honestly, I'm excited. I listened to a recent podcast, and I just want to be up to the level of joking about Roman Polanski walking from Rome to Poland back and forth. That made me laugh so hard, as if his name is because he walks between Rome and Poland.
It's a little known fact.
That's just good stuff. So I just hope to be up to that level today, and I'll be happy.
That's the level
was that Assassin's Creed?
Yes, I think it was. I think that was the Assassin's Creed pod.
The leap to go from Assassin's Creed to Roman Polanski. That's the podcast.
Aaron, one question for you before we jump into the movie. What's the weather like where you are right now?
It's beautiful. 77 and sunny. Thank you very much.
Foster,
what I was about to ask the exact same thing. This is one of our annoying bits. The weather is blinding where I am right now, or at least the sun is blinding. I suppose that's not what weather does. But yeah, the sun is right in my eyes, and I'm waiting for 10 minutes from now when it finally gets out of my line of sight.
The sun does have an impact on the weather, though. It seems to be an oversized impact. So
it's so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who does he think he is? Yeah, I got 62 degrees here. It's nice. It's been sunny all day. I like it when I can stand like in the light of the sun coming into the bedroom, because we have a full size like door window thing, sliding door window, and I can warm up my feet in the sun. So today was a good day for that.
I lose my mind during the spring and fall. My family will attest to this. I refuse to turn on the AC/heat during the spring and in the fall. Like the sun comes through the window. Listen, all it takes is good shade management. You know, you do good shade management, you can keep it warm or cold during those more, you know, temperate times. So, yeah.
That's what it's been like the last couple of weeks here, is that I feel like our electric bill balances out in the spring and fall because we don't turn on the heat or the AC. And when it's being blasted one way or the other during the winter and summer. Yeah,
it's like, do you understand? I literally saved 40 cents today. Come on, guys. Like, this is important stuff. You know,
all adds up.
Find a blanket. Yeah.
Let's jump into the mission. I think I was the only one to have seen this before we recorded this. And that was probably, I don't know, good 7-8 years ago at this point, because it's my dad's favorite movie. After I saw Silence with him, the Scorsese movie, he was like, if you like that movie, you got to watch The Mission. Somehow I was able to understand Silence. I was able to like parse what that's about, but I wasn't able to parse what The Mission's about. And the only thing that I remembered was Liam Neeson getting shot at the end. so this was basically a first watch for me. Foster, you had not seen it. What was your takeaway?
I liked it overall. I would say I actually really liked the slow pacing of it. I found it sort of meditative, and I don't come away like loving the movie or feeling as moved by the movie as I feel like I should. I did like a lot of the ideas within it, but I don't know if I'm going to have like one central takeaway in the way that I do, since you brought up Silence. Like, that's a movie where like the idea of how far are you willing to go for your faith, you know, for what you believe. That's an idea that pops into my head like once a month or so. And I think back to that movie, and I'm not entirely sure what my like thing with this movie is going to be months from now. I think that'll remain to be seen.
Well, Silence and The Mission are like the two Hollywood-based movies about Jesuits. And they're both either by Scorsese or Scorsese adjacent, with this one starring Robert De Niro. And they both have Liam Neeson. So it's a very weird like little duology there. Dicer, what did you think of it?
This is not only my first time seeing this movie, it's my first time knowing this movie exists. and this is one of my favorite things, because if you get after like 2003, 2004, I'm pretty much going to have seen all the Oscar contenders. I'm starting to embrace this idea that, maybe I'm going to be talking about movies a lot of the time, so I should watch them all after that time. But before that time, especially before college, like, we didn't go to movies. It wasn't like a huge, I mean, I loved the ones I saw. I was into them. But I have this big gap where, just like, because this was an awards contender that year.
When the Palme d'Or.
Yeah. And it absolutely did. So, but nope, didn't even know this movie existed. Was like, oh, cool. Let's see. Oh, it's on Plex. I'll fire it up on Plex and be interrupted by commercials every once in a while. and watched it. And I liked it. I didn't like love it. But you're not going to have a movie with a compassionate view of pacifism that I'm not going to find a connection with. And even though it really only wrestles with that the last 10 to 15 minutes, honestly, when it does, it does it really well. And so I like the way it ends. I think it's beautiful. I think the score is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's got a lot of upside. I don't think De Niro's well cast personally. He just does. I don't know that he's fit for this, or maybe that's my own, you know, narrative that I put on him and the kinds of roles he's usually in. But yeah, so I had some things I liked, some things I loved, some things that were meh.
It was the hair, wasn't it?
Honestly, that was a positive, if anything.
Yeah, the hair was nice.
Highlight of the movie.
Aaron's trying to do the De Niro in The Mission look right now.
I am. I've been working on it for years now. We're finally almost there.
I will say the pacifism and the religious angle is part of the reason why I wanted to have you in particular on for this episode. So I'm glad that you were able to at least find that part of it. And I'm sure we'll get more into De Niro in a minute, because I do want to talk about that. But I realize I haven't even given my full thoughts on the movie. And that is, I definitely was able to parse it a lot more than I did however many years ago after Silence came out and my dad showed it to me. It sounds like I'm the only one. I actually was quite moved by the end. There's that look that De Niro gives to Jeremy Irons, as he's dying. And honestly, like 3 seconds before Jeremy Irons turns out to die. I wasn't really expecting it, but just their eye contact. And I wrote in my Letterboxd review that this movie is a lot of it happens in what is unsaid. Like you said, Foster, like the slow pace and just kind of the meditative state of it. So that look and that eye contact really got me, even if I wasn't really feeling their arc up and like fully feeling their arc up until that point. I wasn't totally disengaged, but like that's the moment that unlocked the whole thing, and it kind of made me think, oh, if I went and rewatched this like tonight, because I watched the movie yesterday, if I rewatched it again today, I might just be fully into it. 5 stars, I loved it all the way through, because I know the emotional crescendo that the movie's getting to. So it did get me on that emotional level. And then also, it's got all these ideas. Like, I wrote down about a dozen quotes. There's a lot of good wrestling, I think, with faith and religion and capitalism. And like you said, yes, pacifism versus violence and the ability to change and redemption and all of this different stuff. And I do think by the end, since the story itself, all of those points and ideas are so inherent to it, I think it is able to weave them all together in a way that feels cohesive.
Can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
What did that look say to you? What was the communication you felt going on there in the performance between De Niro and Irons?
I felt that Irons was remaining as resolute and as staunch in what he wanted to be and what he believed in the entire time. Because like I said, I wrote down a bunch of quotes. One of them was, he's telling De Niro, as De Niro's saying that he needs to go fight, he says, "Help them as a priest. If you die with blood on your hands, you betray everything we've done. You promised your life to God, and God is love." That's what Irons has been living out the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that by the end, De Niro, as he's looking at Irons, is realizing that Irons was right the whole time.
Okay.
And that's kind of what I got out of it. Not necessarily
to get that out of it. That's what I want it to mean. You know, like I want there
to
be. Well, I don't know that the movie. It is hard for me to watch this movie and not feel like there's a little bit rah rah, get the bad guys, kill them. Like that the end is, we're supposed to be excited by the underdog tribe, you know, trying their best and taking out some of the, you know, the bad guys, killing them. Like the movie itself seems enamored by that and wants the audience to be enamored by that. So it's harder for me to think that the movie is saying love is the correct way, and that look that De Niro gives is a look of, oh, I was wrong, because the movie feels to me like most of the time it wants to say these are two different ways, you know, to approach it. But I hope you're right. That's what I want it to be. That's what I wanted it to mean.
To me, I just see like the destruction of that whole village and the mission, and realize that that was almost whatever the right tense of that word is, because of the violence.
Yeah.
And him pushing back almost did nothing. You know, like it did get some of the bad guys. Not that it did nothing, but like it didn't achieve as much as what Irons, I think Gabriel, because it's Gabriel's oboe, as much as what Gabriel was doing achieved. One of those last lines is, the spirit of the dead survives in the memory of the living. And I think the spirit of the dead is talking about Gabriel's spirit and that of peace and that of love. He, like I said, he emphasizes love over and over and over.
Yeah.
And he lives it out. So I think, like, and we can get into the ethics behind the Europeans trying to colonize these people, but like
sure.
him going in there in the first place, like
I'm gonna vote wrong, just so you know. Sure. Just ahead of time, I'm gonna vote no.
I'm just saying, like, him going there is almost like the best version of it. Like, if you're gonna take for granted that it's going to happen, the way that he does it is the best way to do it.
Sure.
Yeah. So I agree with your vote.
Going back like 30 seconds to the look between Irons and Robert De Niro, I think for me, I do think that the take of the movie is more siding with Jeremy Irons in his martyrdom approach rather than the, you know, like waking up and choosing violence approach to like defend the village, just by the very nature of the way the movie ends with all of the violence and bloodshed. But I think that for me, like what I wanted more of was more of an exploration of that debate, because I actually think it is a very meaningful debate to have, especially when like the stakes are not low for the tribe. Right. Yeah. I'm forgetting the name of that tribe right now. That's terrible of me. If you can find it, Robert, as I'm yapping. But I was hoping for a little
podcast.
Yeah, I was hoping for a little bit more of that, because I found that really interesting in like the last half an hour or so. But it really is only in the last half an hour that debate comes up. And then speaking to just my larger, I guess, issue, but not like a huge issue, but the obstacle for me to connecting with the movie on a deeper level is I felt like it had so many interesting ideas and none of them for me were explored with the level of depth I was hoping for them to be. So like going to that moment, the redemption moment for Robert De Niro as he's doing his penance and then he has that sort of like tearful moment. I think that's a great scene, largely just because of the music and the way it's constructed and his performance in that moment. But I didn't feel connected enough with his character to really feel the full weight of that. It was mostly just because I thought the scene was so well done. I just feel like there were a few moments like that throughout the movie, whether it's that moment of redemption or the debate towards the end of, you know, whose approach is more right, I guess, here, and others as well, that I just don't feel like were explored as much as I was hoping they would be.
The Guarani is the tribe, by the way.
Gotcha.
The movie is also bookended, I believe, with the, I forget the character's name, but it's not one of our primaries.
The Cardinal.
Yeah, the Cardinal doing narration at the beginning and narration at the end and some narration throughout. And that almost, to me, off-centers the movie a little bit off of where the primary dramatic tension is, because if he's the primary dramatic tension, that's a whole different series of, you know, discussions that the end doesn't seem to be about necessarily. So it felt like maybe the movie was a little bit wanting to be everything and have every discussion instead of really zooming in on the, what I think is the strongest theme in the movie and what it ends with, which is, you know, violence or love.
I don't fully disagree with either of your points, because I do think that it is quite overstuffed and it is trying to do a lot of stuff at the same time. I guess in defense of the Cardinal narration, I don't know, did either of you happen to watch past the end credits?
No, I didn't.
I did not.
It says Father Gabriel will return in Avengers Secret War. No.
It's amazing. I'm in.
There's just a quick scene of the Cardinal like sitting writing this letter, because is he writing to the Pope or he's writing to someone throughout the movie? And then he looks directly at the camera. That's all it is. There's no words. But it's just a moment of confrontation with the audience. And I think that the idea is for it to be a larger institutional discussion while still having those moments, those character moments throughout. So like the other thing that we haven't really discussed is how this very much is like the church is, and the states or the countries are all like having their own motives for going into the South American jungle, whereas Gabriel has his own very personal motivation. These ones are more conquest driven and numbers driven, I guess, just like, hey, we've converted X amount of people, because that's another conversation that they've had. My dad's favorite line again is when the, at the end, when the Cardinal Simon's conversation where they say the world is thus, and he goes, no, thus have we made the world, thus have I made it. I think that's where like the overall larger institutional commentary that the movie is having does or comes. And then as it zooms in on like these smaller character moments, it's showing that, hey, look at what these big institutions have done. Institutions meaning like the church and just countries as a whole. And here's like the very personal effects that it has on people, both like the white Portuguese and Spanish people and the indigenous people as well.
Yeah. I really do love what the movie it seems to be trying to do, which is to have us confront the natural tribalism. And I mean that in the broad sense, not just in the literal, you know, tribal sense that you see in this movie of, you know, the world and how we interact with each other. And this idea of making you like me so that we communicate instead of just showing each other love and finding ways to help each other, it becomes more about getting more on our team, you know, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So I like that because that is the core, in my mind, the core philosophical debate underneath pacifism is, you know, do you believe that we can all love each other? Do you believe that there, you know, that it's possible to live in complete love and never choose violence? And that's something people will continue to ask for years beyond us. But but yeah, a lot of that's here.
Pivoting just a little bit, I thought Jeremy Irons was amazing in this. He was probably my favorite thing about the movie. And I felt like I was able to read a lot of what his character
could have
father.
No.
Yes, of course. Call back to our Assassin's Creed episode. Two Jeremy Irons movies in a row. Similar quality. I feel like you were able, or I was able to read so much of what his character was thinking and feeling just in his facial expressions. I just thought it was a very like sensitive performance too. It was just for me, he's a very compelling lead, and I felt like I understood him. I'm not as sold on the Robert De Niro performance. However, I do still think he's good in it, and I think his casting makes sense in the way that he is, starts the movie as like this mercenary guy who's, then has this moment of redemption. So I think like casting sort of against type, actually makes sense for the arc that he goes through. So like, I kind of like that he's sort of a fish out of water in the way that, he's presented in the movie. I was also thinking like watching now and seeing Robert De Niro in this movie, it feels more out of place than I bet it would have at the time. Cause like the idea of Goodfellas Robert De Niro wasn't fully even a thing yet. So it is interesting to just consider where he was in his career at this point when it was more of this sort of sensitive performances, like from, you know, Godfather 2, Taxi Driver, you know, Raging Bull, where there's like a lot of emotion to them. So
it is funny that this movie has the, are you laughing at me?
I know.
Are you laughing at me? Like he does it like two different times. Like it's literally Goodfellas. Like what are we doing here? Uh-huh. Do I amuse you? Am I a clown? I mean, I know it was Pesci in the other one or whatever, but yeah, it's just, it's that I was laughing at him at that point.
I had to remind myself it was Pesci in Goodfellas when I was watching that scene. I was like, wait, he's doing this again. Wait, no, that's Pesci.
Yeah. Am I a clown to you?
I'm curious, what didn't work about the De Niro performance for you, Aaron?
I just never bought it. It felt like the least authentic part of what was going on. I think he's fine. He's a talented enough actor to make it work. There's just when you're dealing with the 18th century, right? 18th century?
The 1750s.
Yeah. When you're dealing with, you know, 18th century, it's just weird. His energy is so very, you know, are you looking at me? Uh-huh. You know, like it's so very Bronx or whatever that is, or New York, you know, like, and so it just felt a little out of place to me. You know, I think it's honestly, it's a better performance than Father Qui-Gon. Like, you know, I don't know what the Liam Neeson is fine in this movie, but he's fix my thoughts on this. He's not doing anything, is he?
No, he's just there.
He's just there. Like there's not a lot to do. Like where, in the primary dramatic tension construct, what is, you know, his job? I think it's just to be a buddy, a sidekick, but he doesn't even have like anything like unique or interesting about him. I don't know. It just seems like a wasted character to me.
Yeah, the Neeson character, I think, is just like a victim of the screenplay. You know, like, I don't think he's a bad performance. He just has nothing to do, which is, why did you write in another priest when he's not going to have any particular point of view or narrative drive or anything?
Why do you have well, I guess Liam Neeson may not have been
That's
Liam
Neeson pre-Schindler, at that
point. Yeah, I was just looking up his... Yeah.
Vigo really is in Witness. It's like, oh, hey, cool. There's Liam Neeson in The Mission. Vigo Mortensen's in Witness. It's just before they became who you know them as.
Right.
Going back to the De Niro real quick. What do you think of Harvey Keitel in Last Temptation? Because I feel like that's a very similar one where they're doing their New York accents.
Yeah, I'm sure I had the same thought during that. It's been a hot second since I've seen that. But yeah, I'm sure I had similar feelings.
So. I do, in terms of De Niro, I do tend to appreciate his performances more, like not denying the Raging Bulls and Goodfellas and Heats, but like I kind of like this and King of Comedy and like The Intern, the Nancy Meyers movie. Or
he's great in The Intern. That may be one of my favorite De Niro performances.
Genuinely, performance. Yeah. Or even Stardust 2, where he's playing completely against type and he does well in those movies. I think this one's a little less playing against type because his... like the beginning of his character is that he's still just kind of a rough and tumble guy. But once he goes into redemption mode and once that scene you're talking about, Foster, where he breaks down, I'm like, hey, this is not something that I couldn't remember the Heat character's name, but like not something that the De Niro that you think of would have done. So I appreciate it on that level, though. I don't think it reaches the heights of any of those other performances I just brought up. Is there anything else we want to talk about? The score is incredible. Ennio Morricone, not doing a Western, but perhaps my favorite of his, even though
he considers it his
good,
best
bad, and
in interviews. He said that he
iconic.
Considers it his best score.
Yeah.
So he was ticked when he lost the Oscar. he said as much.
Do we know who he lost it to? What he lost it to?
It's like a random. No offense. Yeah. Who surely is listening.
Terrible
right now.
Movie you've never heard of. Yeah. Jurassic Park. no. Jurassic Park wasn't even nominated, by the way, for score. I just realized that recently.
John Williams lost himself.
Yeah, except for he was nominated for the other one.
He's been nominated 800,000 times, I think. So it's
imagine being a director whose second best movie of the year is Jurassic Park.
I know.
It's insane. Come on.
Look, the movie looks amazing too. I thought there's a funny, my favorite Letterboxd review is the David Sims one that's right up top. The whole movie should just be them throwing things down the waterfall. It's like every one of those scenes is so like mesmerizing. Just like,
And is he doing his own stunt climbing there? Like that
looked
legit
like
dangerous. Yeah.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was thinking that too. I was like, it's so it's like refreshing and also terrifying to watch movies back from the 80s when like actors are actually look like they're putting themselves in danger.
Like him, it looked like he was free soloing. Like it was
waterfall.
Wild. Now I know you can do
rocks.
A lot with perspective. You can do a lot with, you know, angles and perspective and that kind of thing, but yeah that was wild.
That and whoever the stunt person was on the cross that was going down the river. Like, I know he didn't go off the waterfall, but he was like actually going down those rapids. That was, stress you out is a good way to put it.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta have it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
The best original score winner that year was a movie called Round Midnight, and the composer is Herbie Hancock.
Oh, Herbie Hancock getting an Oscar.
Nice. That one, I have that on repeat, honestly. Listen to it very often.
Yes.
I just want to go back to one point real quick before we move on and quote, say another quote. When the Cardinal first comes to the mission and he's looking at everything that's going on, he says, "Though I knew that everywhere in Europe, states are tearing at the authority of the church, and though I knew well that to preserve itself there, the church must show its authority over the Jesuits here, I still couldn't help wondering whether these Indians would have preferred that the sea and the winds had not brought any of us to them." And I think that's kind of why I emphasize what he goes through, the Cardinal character, because he's the only one who has that thought, and let alone vocalizes it. And like you said, Aaron, my vote is that it's wrong. he doesn't fully get there, but the fact that he thinks it, and or maybe he does fully get there, because by the end he's saying, "Thus have I made it, thus have I made the world." I think that's an important part to bring up in the whole context of the entire movie. And I'm glad that the movie interacts with it at all. Even though by the end, it still, I think, comes down positively that like Gabriel left a good impression on these people. It's still just like not good. It's still wrong to go in and conquest, you know, and conquer people like this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for integration. Like, I'm all for the idea that we can coexist and live amongst each other and learn from each other and love each other. Like, that makes total sense to me. And I think the Father Scar, as it were, character is probably the closest to that. But you have to know your context and your culture enough to know, you know, I may have all the good intentions and be doing things quote unquote properly or whatever, but I am opening a door to someone else who, you know, then won't. So it's a, you know, moral conundrums abound in trying to figure this stuff out. And that's why we keep talking about it and thinking about it and trying to figure out the best way to be good to each other and to love each other.
And ultimately, those conundrums are why the movie works so well as a whole for me, because I feel moved and I just have been thinking about it all day, and I'm sure I will going forward.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's why I overall come down on the positive side of things overall, even though for, you know, some of the movie I wasn't necessarily as into it. By the end, I really like the thoughts it had me thinking and the things that it seemed to be saying. So.
Any last thoughts, Foster?
Just maybe that I think this is a movie that, sort of like you're saying, will grow with me as I continue to think more about it. I mean, I only just watched it today, being honest with you. So like, this is very fresh on my mind. And I think it's one of those things I'm just going to have to see how much staying power it has, because I also like a lot of the ideas it has. And we'll see. TBD.
I'm hoping it does some growing. And by the time we get to our next bracket, we can win a couple matchups at least.
Yes, sir. I still liked it a good amount. Yeah. I liked a lot about it.
The top trivia on IMDb said, quote, "Robert De Niro was one of the few who did not become ill with amoebic dysentery," end quote. Yes, that's it. So, well, good for him.
But that speaks to, when we talk about the feeling of authenticity in this movie, it speaks to how seriously they took the idea of being in this place with these people. And, you know, you look at some of that trivia about the indigenous people who were in the movie and the freedom they gave them to, you know, speak their own lines. The rumors were that many times it was just strings of curse words that they were using for. But that is just a rumor, probably urban legend. It speaks to the movie's intent to really, you know, do it right, do it well.
I agree. And I think on that note, let's throw it over to Foster, who's going to host our game. We're doing the guessing game again. He's going to give us 10 words, one at a time. We're going to have to guess what movie he is trying to hint us towards. We have one guess per word, and I assume you're going to keep score?
Yes, I'm going to keep score.
All right.
in keeping with the last couple of times we've done this, I will give a big hint that all of my movies fall under a big category, rather. So like last time I pulled from the IMDb top 250. This time I am pulling from the top 200 worldwide box office gross. So okay, that is a pretty big hint. And maybe I'll regret sharing that right up at the top if you guys guess too quickly, but let's see how this goes. So I'm going to go one word at a time. And then after each word, you guys both can get your guess. So the first word of my movie is Broadway.
Wicked.
It is not Wicked.
And I don't know how much money. Chicago.
It is not Chicago. The second word that I'm giving you guys is photographer.
Photographer. This is one of those games where people are going to be screaming at me listening to this. I'm terrible at this. Broadway photographer.
Again, I'm intentionally keeping them vague. So like,
yes,
once you know the movie, you'll be like, oh, okay, I see. But it won't be clear maybe until like five or six in.
Okay.
I'm going to do what I was doing last time and just say based on like the one word and not the both words, I'll say the bike riders because Mike Feist plays a photographer.
I like the world that you live in that you think that's one of the top 200 highest grossing movies of all time.
I know.
Let's go with Newsies.
It is not Newsies. Number three, the word is proposal.
I like that movie.
Broadway photographer proposal.
See, again, I'm sure this is not in the top 200, but I'm going to say Glengarry Glen Ross.
How did you come across?
Isn't that on Broadway right now? You're in Culkin. I think Bill Burr or on Broadway.
Oh, I'm actually going to see that.
Of course you are. Yeah.
Not so humble brag. I'm pretty pumped.
I was trying to plan a trip to see that in the Denzel with who else is in that? It's Denzel and somebody else doing it.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh,
that one I will not be seeing because I do not have $900 to spare.
Yeah. Let's see. Sleepless in Seattle.
It is not Sleepless in Seattle. My fourth word, parentheses, S, close parentheses, is police captain.
Can you say all the words again?
Broadway, photographer, proposal, and police captain.
Oh, man. The further we get into this, the more I feel the way you're describing, Aaron, where it's like, okay, I'm completely lost.
Everybody's yelling. I'm completely lost. I have no idea. Broadway, photographer, police captain, proposal.
West Side Story.
It is not West Side Story.
Yeah, I think the Broadway thing is...
It's got to be a red herring of some sort.
Yeah.
It's actually not. I'll give one spoiler. That one is not a... The Broadway is a decent chunk of the movie.
photographer. Yeah, I'm just going to pass. I'm just going to pass on this one. I don't have anything that's coming to mind.
All right. So the words so far, Broadway, photographer, proposal, police captain, and the fifth word is amnesia.
Amnesia. Memento.
It is not Memento.
Yes.
Broadway play.
Great proposal scene in Memento. It's right there when they go to that Broadway show. Let's see. I don't have a better guess, honestly. Amnesia should be a big hint. While you were sleeping.
It is not while you were sleeping. Okay, my sixth word is particle accelerator.
Spider-Man 2.
It is not Spider-Man 2.
A particle accelerator? Nope, pass.
The next word is sand.
Spider-Man 3.
It is Spider-Man 3. okay, so Broadway, because Mary Jane goes on Broadway, right. Or as the reporter says in the movie Broadway, which has always bothered me. He's a photographer, Peter Parker. There's a proposal because he's trying to propose to Mary Jane on the bridge. The police captain, Captain Stacy. Yeah. Harry has amnesia, and then Flint Marco in the particle accelerator. My next word was Flint because that's his name. Sand was the other one I said, obviously, because Sandman. My next word was going to be glider, and then word number 10 was going to be symbiote.
I'd like to think I would have got it on symbiote. That is not a guarantee. I'm weak on the Spider-Man films.
All right. So that means Robert got it in seven words. You got it in seven words. All right. On to our next one then. Here we go. New movie. word number one is Christmas.
New movie as in like new for this game.
As in not Spider-Man 3. Yeah.
Okay.
Spider-Man 3. Oh, man, I should have been listening.
It might actually be older than Spider-Man 3. There's another hint for you.
Oh.
All right, what was the word again?
Christmas.
Christmas. Love Actually.
It is not Love Actually.
Is it Die Hard?
It is not Die Hard. I already did Die Hard.
Oh, you did Die Hard. I remember one of us did.
My second word or words is Hide and Seek.
Home Alone.
It is not Home Alone.
Violent Night.
Violent Night.
Starring
Great
David
movie. you went from Die Hard to Die Hard. Word number three is World War II.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It is not It's a Wonderful Life.
It is too a Wonderful Life. Oh, sorry. I misunderstood.
I'm just going to pass.
Word number four is Traitor. So we got Christmas, Hide and Seek, World War II, and Traitor.
I know this is wrong. I'm just going to say it. Eyes Wide Shut, because Alan Cumming is the host of Traitors, and it takes place at Christmas.
I should say it's spelled T-R-A-I-T-O-R.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you have a guess, Aaron?
I wish.
Okay. Word number five, similar to word number one, but just to doubly emphasize, word number five is winter.
That's not helpful.
Maybe it's more helpful than we think. It's got to be more helpful than we think.
So Christmas, Traitor, winter.
Hide and Seek, hide World and War II.
World War II.
Starting with words.
Oh, I know it. I know it. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yes. Awesome. What was that? Five words?
Oh, man.
Nice.
The hide and once I thought Lion, the Witch, the Hide and Seek made so much sense. Yeah. And I was like, okay, all
right. Because that's why she goes in the wardrobe, right?
Yes, because they're playing hide and seek. Traitor.
And winter is special. Like, it's always winter, never Christmas. Yeah. Like, those are two different things in that movie. So that's what clued me in.
Yeah, and traitor. Edmund is a traitor.
Yes, he is.
My next words that I didn't get to use, it was going to be siblings was number six. Word seven was beaver. Then I was going to do fawn, then Turkish Delight, and then witch, which would have given it away.
I think Turkish Delight would have given
Turkish
it away.
Delight Turkish Delight would have given it away.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you don't know the movie. I mean, if you haven't watched the movie, it wouldn't have given it away, but you two both. You know.
Turkish Delight.
Next movie, word number one, fingerprints.
fingerprints, you say?
The Incredibles.
It is not The Incredibles.
I'm going to pass.
Word number two is thief.
Michael Mann's Thief.
that's it. It was a subtle hint, but you picked it up.
Huge box office for Michael Mann's Thief.
Yeah.
Let's see. Thief, fingerprints. Nope, I'm still on the pass train.
Number three is prison. So we got fingerprints, thief, and prison.
Mm. I feel like Shawshank has to be too easy, but I'm going to guess it anyway.
Well, it was also a huge bomb.
Oh, that's true.
It is not Shawshank.
Prison. What bankable prison movies were there?
Oh, Sing Sing, because they had such a great release strategy for that, and it made hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Yes, it did. Clearly it did. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm going to pass. We'll go one more.
Okay. Word number four is fall. F-A-L-L.
Fall.
I know there's multiple words fall. Mm-hmm. If you want, I can give you the specific meaning of fall that I'm looking for, or I can leave it ambiguous.
Is it
a season, the fugitive? An action? Oh.
It is not The Fugitive.
Oh, okay. All right.
Fingerprints, fall, prison, and there was one more?
Thief.
Or no, thief.
Thief.
Dark Knight Rises.
Yes. How'd you get it?
I don't know why I thought it for fall, but thief, she's a jewel thief.
Yeah.
Prince. He runs her prints on the computer at the beginning.
Exactly.
She's a thief. Yeah.
And then fall. Why do we fall, Bruce?
Right.
So we can learn to pick ourselves up. Number five is plane. Number six was going to be bomb. Number seven was going to be shadows, as in I was born in them. Number eight was going to be cave.
By them.
incredible chills. Number 9 was going to be Mask, and then number 10 was going to be Bat, which hopefully that would have given it away if you hadn't gotten it by then.
I'm terrible at these superhero movies. I got to tell you, you'd have gotten to Bat, and I'd have still been, I'd had like 9 choices. I'd have been like, hey, there's Batman Forever.
All right,
next
last
movie. Two superhero movies.
I'm not going to say because that would give you too much of a. Since so much of the highest grossing are superhero movies, I'm not going to say one way or the other. This one I feel like might be a little bit easier, but I don't know. I might be wrong. Number 1 is Pharmacy.
I don't know. Pass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love and Other Drugs.
It is not Love and Other Drugs. Number 2 is Library.
Is this It's a Wonderful Life?
It is not It's a Wonderful Life.
Those two things are very prominent in It's a Wonderful Life.
That's true. Pharmacy and Library. You did Eternal Sunshine a few weeks ago, so it's not that.
It is not that.
And that was a bookstore anyway. I'm going to pass again.
Also, It's a Wonderful Life was a huge flop, so it's not like it's in the box office either.
All right, number 3, Sink.
You know the first movie that came to mind that is nowhere near the box office total enough? Was Mother, when you said Sink.
Oh.
The movie revolves around the sink.
I don't know.
Pharmacy,
I have no guesses.
Sink. No, I'm a pass.
It's possible I've seen this movie more than you guys, and so like in my head I'm like screaming, but word number 4 is 27.
Dresses? 27. That feels like that. Like right. You name a specific number like that, it feels like a huge clue. 27.
That's like a either you know it or you don't sort of thing. If you know if you know the movie, then that gives it away. If you don't, then it doesn't.
Well, then I don't know the movie because I did not give it away.
Did you just make a guess, Robert?
Split.
It is not Split.
I don't know if that
5
was how many personalities he had or something.
Yeah. that's good thinking. Number 5, 2 words, Winter Fire.
Winter Fire, like as in a fire in the winter?
Listen, Winter Fire. The words are the words, Robert.
I know, as in whatever you want it to be.
All right.
Yeah, I'm passing again. I am a way out to pasture on this one.
This is the easy one, remember? Yeah, yes. Also I'll pass.
I felt it was. Starting with word 6, though, I think it'll get increasingly clear. Word number 6 is sewer.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's not TMNT was the only when he said sewer. That was the only thing I thought too. All right, give me some focus here. Okay,
Dark Knight sewer. Rises again because they go in the sewer.
Ninja Turtles. You got Andy Dufresne crawling through the sewer. We established that movie didn't make any money. sewer. It's obvious now. This word gave it away. Sewer. 27 sewers.
Oh, actually, it was 27 sewers 2. You were so close.
Oh man, I knew I was close.
Word number 7 is boat. This is one where I would be screaming at this one. So this is fun. I'm enjoying this greatly.
I listen. I'm just throwing Titanic out there because I know it made a lot of money and it's about a boat. So
it is not Titanic. Although that one did sink.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, spoilers.
I still got nothing. I'm sorry.
Give us all the words. We've got a lot of words here, so you know.
Oh, okay. Pharmacy, library, sink, 27, winter fire, sewer, boat, and then word number 8 is barons.
Barons.
Barons, as in barons.
as in barons.
B A R R E N S.
Oh, I feel like that is like the barons,
as in a,
the part
as in
of the
a place, as in a place.
Yeah, I knew it was the barons, but I just don't remember where I've heard that before.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, word number 9. Should I do word number 9?
Yeah.
Do word number 14. Like I'm
word number 10 will truly give it away. But okay. word number 9 is losers.
Oh, it.
Yeah, it's it. There's scenes where they go to the pharmacy. There's scenes where they go to the library. Yeah. There's the sink with the blood in it. 27 is every 27 years Pennywise returns. Okay. Winterfire is from the poem. Your hair is Winterfire, January embers. My heart burns there too, that they read 20 times throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. They go into the sewer to find Pennywise. There's the little boat at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
They go to the Barons. Yeah. They're the Losers Club. And then word number 10 was Clown.
Okay. Joker 2, Folie à Deux.
This may be the time to say I saw that movie once and am not familiar with Stephen King stuff, so yeah.
All right, well, at the very least I do know that both of you have seen my last one, so here's the final one. Number one is Cold.
Titanic.
Frozen.
It is neither. Word number two is Audio Tape.
Frozen 2.
It's Audio Tape. Cold Audio Tape. Okay, pass.
The words don't go together necessarily.
I know.
That audio tape sure is chilly. Yes. Word number three is videotape.
Audio tape and videotape.
I know.
We're going the full gamut.
Still nothing.
Sixth Sense.
Yes.
Is it?
Let's awesome. Go.
What gave it away?
I don't know. I will just say I was thinking audio tape, videotape, and then I thought ghosts, and I thought, well, ghosts, you know, sometimes make your breath show up because it's cold. And I was like, oh, what is that? That's from Sixth Sense when the ghosts do that. I genuinely, if you pushed me, would not be able to tell you specifically what audio tape and videotape you're talking about. I just got lucky.
He listens to the audio tape of the kid who used to be his patient, and then he like turns it up. There's like a whole like 5-minute sequence where he turns up the volume and you hear the ghost like whispering scary Spanish, you know? And then there is the videotape at the party at the end. Or not, sorry, not the party. Yikes. The funeral. Whoops.
The funeral should be a party, honestly. It's about time we put the fun back in funeral, you know?
Exactly. That's some major Joker Folie à Deux energy coming from you right there.
Thank you.
My next words were going to be play, or like school play was number four. Mm-hmm. Number five was car accident. Number six was going to be birthday. Number seven, church. Number eight, therapist. Number nine was going to be ghosts. And then number 10, I just thought this was funny. I was going to say twist, because then like you are thinking Shyamalan.
Yeah.
But you got it in three. So let's see.
It probably would have taken me until ghosts to get that one. I think I've seen Sixth Sense twice.
If I didn't know the category, I don't think I would have gotten it, because that put me over the edge, because I know that movie made bank. And so that was the, like, as soon as my brain went to ghosts, it had to be Sixth Sense. But I mean, that was a shot in the dark for sure.
Makes sense for you to throw it on there, though. You're a big Shyamalan fan. Is that your top four in Letterboxd, Sixth Sense?
It is my second favorite movie of all time.
Okay.
So, nice. Did you get to see it before you knew?
Yeah, I think so. I was so young that I don't have a super vivid memory of the twist, but I have a vivid memory of the first time I watched the movie. I was probably more enamored just with the overall feel of it than I was even with the twist. But I'm a huge like early Shyamalan, like from Sixth Sense to The Village would be my favorite director. I love that.
I'm with you.
I love that stuff.
I'm with you.
So Robert takes this. He's got three wins. He won Spider-Man 3 and 7. He also won Dark Knight Rises in 4. And
best I've ever done.
It in 9 words. Aaron got Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in 5 words, and Sixth Sense in 3 words. So Aaron does get the quickest way there with the Sixth Sense. Right. Yeah, nice.
My average is 4. It's 3 and 5. What's your average, Robert?
Average is 3 victories. That's all.
All right. Fine.
Your average is like 6.6 repeating, I think. Something like that. Yeah. Oh, I did that in my head too. I'm a math teacher, by the way. So
I was going
to
say,
pleased with myself.
You better be able to do that.
Very nice.
Well, thank you, Foster. And thank you to the listeners for listening. You can follow Foster and I on Letterboxd at Robert's Thoughts on FOSTH101. You can also follow me on Blue Sky at the same place. Aaron, the place where people would normally find you is not going to be active quite as much anymore. Would you like to send people anywhere else?
Listen, there are 500 episodes if you like.
That's true. That's true.
Like, you know, there is a back catalog if you want to listen to Sif Pop Podcast. I would also say there will be more stuff popping up in that feed. If nothing else, there will be, you know, four or five special episodes where we do fun games and that kind of stuff throughout the year that will be in the Sif Pop feed. If you want to find my stuff, I like Google my name. There's only one person with my name in the, you know, universe. So it's easy to find me. It is Aaron Dicer, AARONDICER. You wouldn't think Dicer would be a unique last name. It is crazy unique. There are very few Dicers in the world. So you should be able to find me. You'll find Sif Pop there. You'll find my work with CinemaSins there. You'll find, you know, my Letterbox there, you know, anywhere you want to hang out, pretty much just on Letterbox these days. I check in with Blue Sky a little bit. I'm kind of, you know, fleeing social media in some ways. What's that?
I respect it.
Well, yeah, it's, I don't know. I know for a lot of people, it's a moral decision. For me, it's a practical one as much as it is a moral one. I feel like if we want the world to stop being damaged by this kind of thing, we kind of have to stop participating. Like, yep. And so there's part of me that's, you know, wrestling with that. And then also just, you know, gives me more time with my family. And I got grandkids now, guys. I've got a grandkid now.
You want to jump the gun? Yeah. You know,
I'm in that stage of life where I'm finding time for that. Just Google the name, find different places. But yeah, sub to Sif Pop, sub to Recotopia. That's a weekly pop culture podcast that I'm still on every week talking about movies. Cool. So you can check that one out as well. So yeah, all that stuff.
Well, we really do appreciate you hopping on here. The conversation was as fruitful as I would have hoped. So thanks for popping on. Listeners can subscribe, rate, leave a review, listen over and over, tell their friends to the show as usual. You know, all that usual stuff. But we will see you next time as we talk about Nonstop, directed by Joam Colet-Serra, with The Woman in the Yard coming out. Until then, I'm sorry, I was trained as a mercenary, not as a cook.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.